Hello, this is Daryl Hoare for February 2024, and the retrospective for episode 3 in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows was intended as an interruption radio drama fan work that would be a relief series, as in relieving characters and viewers of the original soap opera program, the original 1960s Dark Shadows, in which multiple other characters from various shows and movies around the same time period, whether they were released or just aired in that time period, would pitch in and help solve all the problems. So that's the relief. It's not to make money of any kind or any kind of funding. The only funding is the narrative discussion, because once upon a time, the internet was supposedly all about us finding our interests together and people of like mind. And the purpose of my particular show from the beginning was not to make money or to get crazy numbers, but to find approximately 25 people who enjoyed it and 5 people who would discuss the narrative with me. I do not believe this has reached the success I was looking for, but I am still in the hope that it will someday. And I had been doing retrospectives for episode 19, and I was going to do 20, but I ran out of enough discussion to be able to do that, so I started from the beginning at the end of last year, restarted at episode 1, and now we've reached number 3. And 3 is one of the oddest ones. It's kind of a whack-a-mole one where it's just Mrs. Johnson talking with a friend, updating her about everything that's gotten better. So it's sort of like skipping through storylines. A lot of it was done from memory of the original Dark Shadows program, because I didn't have all the DVDs at that time. I was just renting them from a company who apparently has decided that streaming is all they want to do now, and there's not as much selection at all. So now a lot of stuff has to be gleaned from the library, because they still allow for borrowing DVDs, or you just have to purchase them. I am awaiting when a potential runner-up will take the mail home DVDs rental theme, because there were a few years ago companies who were trying to do the same thing and couldn't compete with Netflix, and now would be the time to restart if they wanted to. It's still a very viable option. People still use DVDs and CDs and other hard copies. That is a maintaining preference, and I delight in it, because a lot of time you get these extras that streaming doesn't cater to, which is commentary by actors and directors and various things. I talked about that quite a few shows ago, in which we'd been enjoying, the Key to Time commentary with Doctor Who, Tom Baker, John Leeson, and whoever played the original Romana. Mary Tam, that's who it was. Oh, it was just hilarious. And it is hilarious, and I still have a copy. It is really good, and it's a lot of fun. And it's like just hanging out with chums, and they are drinking beverages of the alcoholic variety. Although, in this episode in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows that I'm doing a retrospective of tonight, or whatever time of day you're listening to it, there's more emphasis on coffee. So whatever your beverage of choice to enjoy while listening to me, hopefully still is enjoyable. They're just, the numbers are not dwindling all that much. I mean, I would say a little bit, maybe because I'm not as angry as I used to be, and it almost seems like people are a little
disappointed
that I've mellowed out. I am not really sure about that, or just y'all been riding so high on angst and hate speak and whatever, and just being angry and just hyped up. So I really have mellowed out a great deal, because a lot of times when I was frustrated and upset, that was about not getting the proper answers because nobody had them. Well, thankfully, this nonprofit organization came into being called the Center for Humane Technology happened, and I got a lot of the answers, not just for the 21st century stuff that I was upset about, but also for a lot of 20th century stuff that had confused me for decades. So I got a lot of the answers I was looking for. They were not pretty, but they made a ton of sense, and there's been a lot of mellowing out, which maybe doesn't attract as many people. Maybe they just need to be way too excited all the time. I am really not sure. Hopefully, the change in numbers and the locations from where everybody's downloading hopefully expresses people who are interested in more narrative. In fact, I was seeing such a lack of proper discussion of the narrative to the soap opera over the years that I decided to make some log entries on pitofultimatedarkshadows.wordpress.com, which is just, that was like kind of my blab to stay sane weblog. And the narrative one is the pitofultimatedarkshadows.wordpress.com. That's where everything is lined up to try and focus as much on the narrative as possible. But yeah, there were a few on the more blabby, non-the WordPress weblog where I was, I've noticed what is, it's really quite nice that the focus in the last year has been on Josette Dupré, She's Complicated, and on the subject of Victoria Winner's entry. I built a lot of those because I realized, well, if people have become, you know, fans of the show seem to have a lot of problems discussing the narrative because there's all these bits that they don't understand, or there's the emotions get so riled up because of a fixation with one character or one romance or whatever it is, maybe I should start discussing the narrative because maybe it needs to be explained. And I'm hoping that a couple of those entries are helping people who are going out of their way to look for them. They know how to use search engines and go, okay, I'm not crazy. This is who Josette Dupré is. Okay, I'm not crazy. Through the various productions of Dark Shadows, this is who Victoria Winners is. She shifts a lot. And yeah, so hopefully I have given people some relief. And yes, no, you're not crazy. This is who Victoria Winners is in variation of various productions. And this is who Josette Dupré is also in various forms of the production. And I hope that it's helped, because it helped me to write it, and it's helped to see the numbers rise on those two topics. However, let's get into the retrospective for episode 3. I was taking a lot of notes for this one. The intro back in 2013, when I put it together, I just got this wonderful idea of mixing in the Lost Boys with that music. And so, yeah. So, because I, you know, I grew up on the Lost Boys too. And that was things when really a few things, we were getting a lot of the spooky we wanted that had comic relief. And that was really helpful back in the late 80s. It's like, oh, finally. Then when I was, I think I was around middle school age when The Lost Boys, and it was such a big favorite with me and two other girlfriends, and sort of lived on it. And then Beetlejuice came out shortly after that, and it's like, oh, now we're finally getting what we've been really wanting as kids, as, you know, spooky kids and that kind of thing. So the description for episode 3, which is The Strega of Brooklyn, in this wrap-up of the Adam storyline and Dream Curse, Mrs. Johnson explains to her out-of-town friend what all has been going on. Since Dark Shadows has so much reincarnation hinted at, it's likely possible Mrs. Johnson's old pet came back as the familiar fellow here. I know the timeline is a bit off, but the alpha version was done with a lack of tools and from memory only, so I was surprised I got it all this accurate. In my version, Adam doesn't come into contact with Sam Evans or Willie Loomis. He does still lock up Carolyn previously in the root cellar, which comes into importance later on. How Victoria and Peter end up where they do is up for guesswork. Considering Victoria can obviously do the time warp, perhaps that's how. Still, the reason behind her getting a phone call from a 1960s Collinwood to a decades later Twin Peaks is up to you. I kept them present day with intentions to clear up the obvious puzzle of her relationship to Elizabeth Stoddard. What I really had fun with was when I was sharing it with Golden Girls fans, I had a different summary, and as our oddly picked hosts to this radio drama lose momentum, a strange listener changes channels, and suddenly we're back at the cheesecake table with the girls. Sophia Petrillo makes the usual ribald observations before telling a tale of her journey by train into Maine to see a friend of hers who always has dramatic gossip. and join the cause and all that kind of stuff, just because I couldn't figure out why nobody was doing any narrative chat. So I was going to other fandoms saying, well, maybe it's a DS problem. And in a lot of ways it is, but one of the reasons for that is that everybody was just being herded into the social media, commercial social media zone, which I also say is social casinos, and people who grew up on a soap opera, on the edge of your seat, gotta, you know, not miss out, you know, gotta know what's happening next, were incredibly trained and ripe for what commercial social media has been shown to achieve, which is just taking every last moment of your time to, supposedly it's supposed to be discussion and communication, but a lot of it is just time wasting to sell advertising and tweak with your emotions in order to do so, like figure you out. A lot of the data scraping and idiosyncratic data collecting, all that kind of stuff. It's like figuring out what'll tweak with you and all that. This episode is also the marvelous first where I got one of my first online reviews on September 25th, 2013. And so I hadn't started the podcast yet, but Elena showed up because I had written tests to just try to figure out, like, doesn't this damn thing work? I see other reviews for other things in text. Why am I not seeing anything for mine after seeing the traffic graph? It's like, well, you know, and I figured, well, maybe the review box is broken. So I do that. Elena, who was doing a lot of reviewing and reading and looking at stuff, she saw that and she was worried there was something wrong with the site, me writing test in the review box. So she held on for Wadsworth. She got through the second episode, and then when she reached the third, she spoke up and said, this is pretty good. Also, I love the Golden Girls and Clue cameos. Great writing. Happy face. It's like, finally, somebody's talking to me. And I was like, kind of learning, okay, how do I respond? And I was learning to use the site better just with her. And, you know, we're still friends. We still talk every couple of weeks on the phone. And I still love her dearly, you know. Like, she, if you've seen her explanation on her profile page at fanfiction.net, she explains herself. And when she had broke the news to me months ago, it might have been a year ago, it might be longer, I'm not quite sure when she had made the decisions, but I telephoned her immediately and I said, because she was worried I wasn't going to be her friend anymore, like she was really kind of broken up, and I was like, and I telephoned her immediately, I'm like, no, I got into this business for friendship and narrative discussion. You do both wonderfully. And that's all I care about. I mean, and also, you stood by me. I still thank her. Most recent conversation, I was still like, you know, you really were good. I just want to thank you again. If you saw me blow in a gasket, that's all it was to you. And that is huge for any person these days. You know, a lot of times we've been roped into believing, it just blows my mind, we're roped into believing this person is insane, or they're nasty, or they're crazy, or don't get anywhere close to this person, because look at all this stuff they wrote on social media, or look at this other stuff that they wrote, or whatever. Just like this scandalous, weird, extreme stuff. And I'm like, what happened to PMS? You know, we used to blame everything on that. But no, there's not even that. You're just insane or crazy. It's just assumed, and it's like huge scandal. Whereas Elena, she saw me blowing my top, any kind of rant that I had, and she was like, eh, she's just blowing a gasket. No big deal. And it's like, and I thank her to this day for being that wise and that understanding. It's like, she did not get worried. I mean, maybe sometimes she got amused or entertained that I was blowing a gasket, but she was like, that's, you know, that was all it is. She just, Daryl's blowing a gasket yet again, or whatever she thought to herself. I have no idea. I haven't asked her, but she's very much nodded in my direction where she's, oh yeah, that's all it was. And I wasn't going to make a big deal about it. So don't worry. And presumably, I think Oisin's seen something. I think because Oisin's blown gaskets too. They're still a favorite of mine where she's like, why do people have to be such SOBs years ago? And I was like, I have not seen the phrase SOBs in a dog's age. And it's been too long. And just bless her heart for being able to remember that. It was just beautiful to see Oisin Navoy on Fartbook blow a gasket and use the phrase SOBs. I just thought it was the most hilarious thing. And I kind of understood, you know, because that system was so messed up, or is so messed up, that yeah, you get your attention focused on what's going to piss you off. And yeah,
I remember it had something to do with somebody who wrote in all caps all the time, and the reason he does it or did it is because of vision issue. So I could see where whatever happened, there was some sort of miscommunication, and there was something thought that, you know, there were various things assumed that weren't clearly communicated properly. So yeah, I could see how a gaskets could get blown in with that kind of stuff going on. Especially with the way that that frickin' network website or whatever you call it is just a piece of garbage that just... Well, I mean, if you remember from 2014, multiple times I was trying to disengage, turn off the notifications to some sort of voting poll for who Barnabas Collins should love, and it just irritated the crap out of me. Yeah, I got booted from some group or whatever, but at the same time, I don't think the group had any idea that after I kept on turning off notifications, it kept bringing me back. And that is the whole trick to that social media making money, is to maintain the attention. Oh, this seems to be irking somebody. Let's keep irking her to sell more ads, which is really... It's just amazing because I got ad blockers. I've had them the whole time I was using that site. So whatever ads they were trying to sell my way, or maybe they did sell them because they could tell whoever they're selling the ads to that, oh, we put it up when this person was pissed off, therefore you owe us a nickel or whatever. I didn't see nothing because I had ad blocker. So yeah, I wouldn't see anything. And that's one of the disturbing things about the whole story with how they sell ads. It's like some of us know how to work the mechanisms and do the finagling, so we don't even see whatever ads are claimed to be viewed by whoever with whatever algorithms or whatever data they got. I don't see nothing because I can't handle that crap. I've always been, even though this is my show, it's kind of a giant advertisement for a lot of TV shows, various other things, but yeah, it's just amazing because it's like, if I couldn't do that, I wouldn't touch the internet, in all honesty. I mean, it's just, no. Not interested, do not want to touch any of that stuff. Because, yeah, it's too distracting. I'm distracted enough. I got enough problems. I do not need constant advertising in my face. Ugh, yeah. Some of it's funny, some of it's fun, some of it's handy. But, yeah, if I want to find something, that, see, that to me, that was the whole reason of the internet. You don't need advertising to find out about a project. Because if you have an idea, you write it in a search engine and you go and find it on your own. That's the thing. That was, to me, that was, I mean, you just get rid of commercialism, you know, a lot of commercialism altogether, because you search for what you want and you buy it and it's done, or what have you. Like, that was, you know, one of the dreams that didn't come true. And I think that was another one of the promises I got in the 90s about this garbage. So, there you go. So, episode 3, The Strega of Brooklyn. By this time, a lot of people know that the fandom cameo is the Golden Girls. And yeah, once upon a time, came home from work, husband came home from work back in 2012, and I have this terrible idea, honey. And we're in the kitchen, and I said, what do you think? There is that skit in The Kids in the Hall where Mark McKinney's and all that, and he's dressed up as the devil. Milligan and Hecubus get all happy that he's tuned in, and at some point, he looks at the TV guide or whatever and says, oh, it's Golden Girls time. You know, it's like Golden Girls, and he has to switch channels and he starts laughing at the Golden Girls. Then it cuts to the cheesecake table, telling my husband about this. Picture it, Collinsport, 1968 or whatever. And that is when my husband coughed. He's not a Golden Girls fan. He just knew I watched it a lot. And was actually a little disturbed, like, oh, I'm not into this. Why is she watching this? But yeah, when I told him the idea for this pit episode, he coughed some food or some beverage, and he's all, that's terrible. Do it. Just like the whole thing with Morticia saying that Victoria had the gift, and he was all, do it, do it. And he was more enthusiastic about the Victoria and Morticia thing with, like, the whole, like, she has the gift. But with this one, it, again, he was just like, oh, that's terrible. Do it. Had the encouragement. So yeah, here we are. I did it. And plus, it was great just because I decided that I was going to take a page out of Slave of a Vampire's book on YouTube with the DS annotation. There should just be one episode where we follow Mrs. Johnson around as she cleans and bitches about the Collinses. And episode 3 is the episode where it's like, oh, here, I did it. This is kind of for that one comment you made. Like, here, this is the episode. She doesn't clean and, you know, but she complains. She definitely does. I think there's even a little
something in here where she's like, you know, cleaning after them as a thankless and never-ending task, she's telling Sophia.
And I didn't know the first name of Mrs. Johnson. Apparently it's Sarah, but I didn't know that at the time. So it's like, just make up some nickname. And so they're gossiping. So Sophia calls her Gabby and it works out. And Mrs. Johnson says, oh, I haven't heard that nickname for ages or whatever. That was just what I came up with at the time, that her name was, which is funny just because she could be the reincarnation of Abigail, and that would be a Gabby too, from the 1790s family, because it was the same actress, Clarice Blackburn, I think her name is. Maybe I got that wrong, but I didn't add that much rewrite to this one between the original and the podcast, but I did do a little updates, and I think I put more stuff in there about Milligan being enamored with Angelique Bichard and the whole painting thing, and there was that. Oh gosh, yeah, I think this might have been it. Will. Meanwhile, Wyncliffe, Willie Loomis is completely absorbed in his new 666 piece jigsaw puzzle of a cloud. It's like, yeah, 666, that's like some sort of demonic number, supposedly. But yeah, a jigsaw puzzle of a cloud. So silly. And then, yeah, Willie gets his little cameo that he's completed it and that he rules the sanatorium because he finished a jigsaw puzzle. That was another reason. It's like, I can't just keep the guy having jigsaw puzzles all the time that he's gone. We gotta find something else to do. And eventually I do figure that out, and it would be penmanship and... You know, thanks to our dutiful Professor Stokes comes up with that. But yeah, that's later. That's not this one. And Milligan's irritated because he doesn't have his portrait of Angelique anymore. Then Hecubus talks about how there was a goat somewhere nibbling on the frame of this beloved portrait of Milligan. And that apparently he got it to Roger Collins so he could become enamored with it. And then Cassandra later. So it all kind of blends together the original and my interruption series. And then Milligan says that he won't compel anyone with the sleep of ages tonight, that he's certainly lost the mood. And then he does say, that gorgeous dame, meaning Angelique, gets around. And Hecubus says, she still hasn't gotten around to you, master. And Milligan's biffed, don't remind me. At any rate, it turns out that she was a student of the bemonocled man of study, Professor T. Eliot Stokes. He happens to be a miraculous descendant of the Ben Stokes, mentioned in episode 2 of our pit here, meaning Ben Stokes was a confidant and servant of Barnabas Collins that he was close to. And Hecubus, yes, he's not feeling so good about being the go-between of our beloved witch to that homestead, meaning Professor Stokes, and may be seen helping our residents to make up for the trouble of his wayward student. Milligan says we shall entrance our listeners with an essence of hypnotic music, and then a record skips and the stripper song begins. So that's kind of a goofy. Milligan's aghast. What's going on? Those aren't my theta waves. Hecubus, what have you done? He obviously switched the music. I'm under the influence of a higher master, and now I will remove my, like he's gonna strip. I mean, I will alter the sounds you hear. And there's bubbling liquid noises and high-pitched semi-evil laughter, a collection of gremlins and demons. It just kind of gets goofy. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dark Lord is blessing us, and that's where Hecubus, no master, he's merely tuned in. And then Milligan is about to hail Satan, and then Satan himself is a grisly voice, and he dropped his remote, and he's, you know, having to switch the TV back by hand, and he's fumbling various small objects falling over. Click, click. Milligan gets all into the idea of like, oh, the Dark Lord is watching us. And then I just redo the Mark McKinney bit. Terrific, great stuff. At last, a show for me, a show that speaks to me. Oh, Golden Girls. Yeah. And so then click, click. And then it's so funny. Sophia's first line in this episode, Blanche, you're loose. That was actually something that Jonah came up with years before, where he said, yeah, I can give you a little Golden Girls. It was just off the cuff randomly when we were hanging out together. Blanche, you're loose. And that's like, there's a Sophia line for you. And it wasn't, it had nothing to do with me creating this episode at all. It was totally random hanging out just some night together, and Golden Girls came up, and he just came up, and I always remembered it. It was like, yeah, you actually got that right. That's pretty close to what the show actually does. That's her joke, is it just saying stuff like that.
So, Jonah, I'm sure, is forgotten by this time, but thank you very much for getting Sophia into the pit of ultimate dark shadows with that random line you came up with once upon a time. And this episode, actually, I went and found canned laughter for it. It's the only pit of ultimate dark shadows episode that I think has any canned laughter. And then, Rose says, you know, I've been loose myself at times, and Sophia insults her, yeah, in your head. And more laughter. And then there's Dorothy. Bob, we've gone through half of the blueberry pumpkin chocolate raspberry rhubarb cheesecake. There wasn't as many ingredients the first time I put this together, and then I added a couple more for the podcast version. Were you going to get to your story or not? There's some reason that people need a Sophia Petrillo story. And she says, don't rush me. I was waiting for my medication to kick in, because there's always that joke about what drugs she's taken. And light laughter from the audience. And Blanche, I don't think I did any of these Golden Girls any justice, even as I've watched them way more than I watched Dark Shadows back then. That Blanche says, I tell you, Sophia, I need a good friendship story. I've been without a date for 2 whole days. And Sophia says, here you go. I've got a date for you. Picture it, Collinsport, Maine, 1968 or 69. I'm not sure. And I probably should have said 67, but I don't know. I'm not seeing my best friend Esther so much, so I take a trip by train to a place where all my cares become pointless after discovering the dramatic details of the rich snob my friends work for. And yeah, then you get the train noises, and she's off and knocks on the door, and Mrs. Johnson opens it. And she's like, oh, Sophia, to see Sophia again. Yeah, it's been a long time. And she says, Gabby, it's so good to see you. And I haven't heard anyone call me that nickname for ages. Come in, says Mrs. Johnson. Hey, you've got the best gossip and tell it. What do you think I come all the way out here from Brooklyn for? Because back in the 60s, that's where the Petrillos lived. It gets my mind off my own problems. They weren't in Florida. They were in Brooklyn, in New York State. It gets my mind off my own problems to hear about the people you work for. Mrs. Johnson, well, I must say you've picked a good time. Everyone is either out or busy. Let's head to the kitchen. Footsteps, door creaking. Look at this kitchen. It's marvelous. Yeah, I think it's pretty big from what I remember of Dark Shadows. Mrs. Johnson, oh yes, I've had to learn a lot over these newfangled machines. Have a seat and I'll put the coffee on the percolator. And Sophia hears that. She's like, that will be not music to my ears. That instant stuff is a joke. And Mrs. Johnson says, I know. I mean, if you can't get better, it'll do. But really, because I think instant coffee was kind of a new thing back then. So, Sophia said, I had enough of that stuff on the train. Well, actually, at the station. And Mrs. Johnson heaves a sigh to sit down. Well, you remember that Jeff Clark I wrote you about, so here's where we're starting to just go through everything. And Sophia says, yes, and don't worry. I always use those pages, meaning her letters, to start the pilot light so no one knows. Thank you, my dear. Anyway, Jeff Clark. And Sophia says, who could forget? No one obviously had previous life so clearly etched on his forehead, and I'm glad I wrote it that way, because we're still not sure if it's like possession or reincarnation. It's still sort of up in the air. Well, he finally came to terms with being Peter Bradford from 1795, should be 1796, but or just 1790s. And Sophia says, oh good, how'd it happen? And then Mrs. Johnson, you know that doctor lady we've harbored here who pretended to be a historian? Well, she goes around with a glittery medallion trying to hypnotize people right and left. She was trying to get him to forget his work with that Dr. Lang, and somehow she goofed. He remembers everything with all the details, precise as they could be. Not quite like that Bridie Murphy stuff, because, yeah, in a log entry, I remember saying, you know, I was trying to go a little easier on Bridie Murphy, because that story was a bummer for the poor woman who came to get help from Dr. Whoever. Maury Bernstein, I think it was. Yeah, it was like she wanted to quit a habit, and then all of a sudden there's this reincarnation stuff going on. So I had Mrs. Johnson go easier on her than in the previous write-up of this. And Sophia asked, my goodness, so did Victoria and Peter get married? And Mrs. Johnson says, if they have, it wasn't here. Bad luck this place is for them. I told them to head out of Collinsport before anything else happened. Wise woman, says Sophia. And Mrs. Johnson says, thank you. I do pride myself on speaking my mind when the time presents itself. I packed their suitcases myself. And she said, good for you, says Sophia. Mrs. Johnson, well, I've got to be good for something around here. Picking up after the Collins is a thankless and never-ending task. But the pay is good. Beats scraping a grill all day. And Sophia, knowingly, I hear you. How about Roger's new wife? And Mrs. Johnson, ugh, it's so pathetic. Mr. Collins got that telephone call from a tarot reader, meaning Miss Cleo, to leave town and find love, and boom, he comes home married to Madam Slick with some of the loudest clothes I've ever seen. Yeah, if you've ever seen Cassandra, you know, that version of Angelique, her clothes are just so paisley and extreme, and for the 1960s, they're loud clothes. As if that and dark curls are going to distract anyone. She puts on doe eyes, but I swear that every single member of this community knows exactly who she really is and what she's about, meaning she's Angelique Bouchard. She's not Cassandra whatever. Cassandra Blair, I guess that was the name. And Sophia giggles. It's incredible how she pretends. You can tell something is off by the way she acts about it. It's a dead giveaway. She, just like when my Dorothy tried to explain why she was going to marry that yutz of a son-in-law, meaning Stan Sporadek, I have now. How is that Professor Stokes coming along? And Mrs. Johnson says, oh, he's simply a dreamboat, takes command of every uncertainty, and just gets on with it. I never saw anyone in this job I could adore so much. Hey, you ain't making sheep's eyes at him, are you? Sophia asks. Mrs. Johnson's like, Sophia, I'm a married woman, which we figured she is. She's Mrs. Johnson, of course. And Sophia's like, oh, sure. So where is your husband now? Would you think if they had friends long enough, she'd know all about Mrs. Johnson's husband, but I don't know. And it says smirkish, you won't catch me out with any of those trick questions. And Sophia's like, aw, Gabby, I was just checking. You are consistent to the last. Meaning she's going to keep all the secrets to herself, at least her own. I should hope so, says Mrs. Johnson. And she keeps on asking about Professor Stokes. Oh, yeah, then we're getting to the dream curse. Mrs. Johnson says, oh, he is definitely recovering from that dream curse. The entire thing got misaligned when I had to explain what happened to me. And Sophia asks, why? What happened when you had the dream? And this is where Freddy Krueger comes in, because I was like, well, you know, it's like, how are we going to fix the dream curse? And I opened a few of the doors and just screamed my head off at some of the things I had to see. But then I heard a different song from the poem everyone else heard, apparently, you know, because there's just kind of like that poem for the dream curse. And then there's, you know, the Freddy Krueger thing of, you know, 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. 3, 4, better lock the door. And 5, 6, grab the crucifix. 7, 8, gotta stay up late, and I think it's 9, 10, never sleep again, something like that. So that's what Mrs. Johnson was hearing instead, because Freddy Krueger is about to kind of bust through and solve this problem too. Then Sophia, you know, mentioned she's some woo-woo that she puts to Mrs. Johnson. It's like, hey, did you put salt around your bed like I told you to? And Mrs. Johnson says, yes, Sophia, and I made the blessing you prescribed. It was all good. And as an afterthought, when I scrubbed out the salt, it gets that rug looking shiny new, I told you, which I learned from, I think, 1900 House. I think that's where I learned that whole salt on the carpet thing, rubbing it out with that. And Mrs. Johnson, yes, it does. Thank you. Anyway, I brought all the boys and girls towards me, and I noticed a stranger in the corridor, Sophia. He had a bladed glove. And Sophia's like, what do you mean he had a bladed glove? And say, they go and go. And I think at this point, I think I want to get over to the review pile here, which I think I actually put them in chronological order, too. Yeah, oh, that was it. Yeah, Helena came first in September 25. And she was just saying, I love the Golden Girls and Clue cameos. And yeah, this is pretty good. And another friend I lost, but she put this in 2014. Whereas Helena, that was 2013. She was like the first. And the friend I lost from 2014 just listened to episode 3 of the podcast. And I just want to start with OMG The Lost Boys, one of my faves from the 1980s. And I think one of the best vampire films. And an episode entirely devoted to the one and only Mrs. Johnson. Oh, she got it. You did a fantastic job with her. A nice, simple episode of two ladies talking. And man, too bad Adam didn't have her to teach him how to adjust to life. I always thought it was weird how his exit on the show went out more of a whimper instead of a bang, considering the massive role he played in the 1968 period. Okay, so it is 1968. I actually have a more favorable view of the character as well as his actor, so I'm glad you gave him a happier outcome, even if it is goofy. And poor Peter and Vicky being stuck in that crazy Twin Peaks town. She put a little frowny face because she felt sorry for him. Yeah. That's true. Oh, and here is from War in 2014, December. I love episode 3. I don't think Twin Peaks is out of place at all, or the Golden Girls. I love how you used the laugh track just like they did in the sitcoms, coming when the writers and producers think we should laugh, not necessarily when we would laugh. It's funny how they can get away with that and nobody bats an eye. By the way, a secret. You know when they say filmed before a live audience? Well, when the audience laughed, they are not laughing. They are laughing when the producer tells them to laugh. Do you see any kind of a slight correlation here? Yet Dan Curtis had a bike in the wrong place and everyone starts bending to look like something in a Picasso painting, or maybe it's just me getting bent over the wrong things. By the way, thanks for the heads up on Michael Nesmith. Oh yeah, because yeah, I had the whole, you know, we all deserve respite from evil quotation from the long sandy hair of Neptune Zamora book. Heads up on Michael Nesmith, so I guess he was, I don't know if he ever read the book, but you're right about Angelique, though she's the villain and not supposed to have any good points, though I also find it admirable that people do look for the good in even her. I think it's neat because it means all is not lost society ways. The writer outdoes herself. I think he's talking about me here. Don't think the TV shows so much time travel as an homage to TV/movie pop culture. The writer does a splendid job of this. Besides, isn't Dark Shadows sort of an homage to all the vampire movies? Well, it's really an homage to a lot of old books is what Dark Shadows is. I will say Dan Curtis would be proud. Thank you so much, Warren. Besides, if they can tweak Spider-Man and Star Trek, why not Dark Shadows? Yeah, exactly. And then here's O'Sheen. I'm just going to read the whole thing from April 2015. Wow. Because, yeah, I mean, she kind of came in much earlier, but then I was doing so much reviews for Standfast and Damn the Devil, and she realized she had to reciprocate in kind. So, okay, I'm starting the project of going back through and reviewing the many embarrassingly chapters I have not yet reviewed. It'll be a project that will be ongoing for quite a while, I fear, but at least I'm starting. So, episode 3. I love the line about uncomplicated evil, no very complicated evil. Complicated is right. Collinwood has got the most convoluted shit going down in it all time periods, which is why I absolutely love those sadly few and far between moments on the show when characters are given the chance to comment on how completely batshit crazy their lives have become. Also, like the mention of Professor Stokes being Ben's miraculous descendant. Oh, yeah. Since indeed it does irritate me that there are these big gaps in the Stokes genealogy, as discussed on the show, though Stokes genealogy gaps aren't really any bigger than the Collins genealogy gaps, I guess. And I love the "she really gets around, she hasn't gotten you yet" interchange phrase. Sit down, sigh is great. So evocative, and one knows just precisely what it means. Precisely what it means. Love the idea of the confidential letters in order to light the pilot light. Mrs. Johnson's discussion of Dr. Hoffman's practice of hypnotizing people right, left, and center is marvelous. It's about time someone put two and two together and figured out that there's something sinister going on with her flashy pendant. I love Mrs. Johnson's line about priding herself on speaking her mind when the time presents itself. That totally seems to fit, since sometimes she's very close-mouthed on the show, and other times she gets deeply into gossip mode. The thing by the hat rack and the stairs, yeah, because there was something, I remember at the end, she's, you know, Roger shows up, and he's misplaced his Dale Carnegie book. And, you know, Mrs. Johnson says, oh, it's over there on the thing, you know, she's not sure what that darn thing is, and it's like it's either a radio or, you know, or a commode or something, they're not sure what it is. And I remember talking to O'Sheen within recent years about that, and we're still not sure what the darn thing is. It just looks really ornate. The thing by the hat rack and the stairs. Oh yeah, she says, I just remembered what completely obscure, you're totally right, piece of furniture that is. Yep, it's an odd knick-knack, isn't it? For the moment, the old radio description made me wonder if they'd moved Quentin's gramophone into the entryway. I love that Mrs. Johnson has taken Adam under her wing, and I love that he's doing well and is able to show off his educated gentleman aspiring to be better things side, rather than the abusive brute side he is made to show much more often on the original show. Now, one thing that did not fully work for me, or that I'd have to take some time to get adjusted to anyway, is the apparent backstory for Mrs. J, the Gabby nickname hugged me a bit, though I suppose it can be seen as a reference to her love for talking when the time presents itself. Happy face, but I did wonder if it was actually referring to her name being Gabriel or something like that. Well, I guess that could be her middle name. She could be Sarah Gabriel Johnson. And then the reference to her being a married woman, I did wonder about that, what with her statement to Jason McGee and Willie in the show about the fact that she is a widow. Is she saying she's a married woman in that she is holding sacred slash and remaining faithful to the memory of her late husband and or the late lamented Bill Malloy? Or has she actually remarried? That would make an interesting story. She actually is married to Bob the bartender, perhaps. That's a good idea. Oh my gosh, it's been a long time since I read any of that. It's a good question. It is true. And then, from 2015, Tingler. The Golden Girls, yes, it was fun, though. I must say, I wasn't a fan of the show. Though it was funny and loved the wisecracking jokes. Kind of the women Three Stooges. Mm-hmm. Bringing Freddy in on this for shame. Plus saying the cat is Endora oh so evil and had haha wouldn't wish that cat on anyone. Yeah, because with Freddy Krueger, there was some... Oh gosh, there was something else that was really good, but I haven't gotten to it yet. Let's see. Haha, yes, the call. Well, I learned that... Oh, yeah. Or maybe this is me talking back to him or something. Sylvia is quite knowledgeable and has a way to spin a bad situation. Beats getting sent back in time and almost hanged, no? Also, if we want free room service, kill someone and pit it on another guest. Because, that was what was going on when Sophia Petrillo called Twin Peaks. Like, it was talking about, like, oh, you'll get free room service because there's all this crap going down in Twin Peaks. And Victoria had asked her, it's like, how did you know? And it's like, oh, that's what they do. You know, they charge you extra and then they give you free room service. That's how they deal with it, you know, in a lot of hotels or something like that. The Great Northern Lodge. That must be one very big pantry because, Adam comes out from there. So is there a spicy meatballs for dinner? Hey, what's this promoting bigamy? Quite a new Adam. Will he fit in the car or the roof? I think he just goes home with her on the train. Well, what it is, I know not, but a commode by the coat rack. Yeah, right, hey. And here we have my very Art Deco commode. It's the end thing. Every parade of home has one. Why, when you just can't make it to the powder room, just sit right down and... Oh, when you're done, get the door, won't you, dear? I think I know what all that meant. Okay, so episode 3, Gary Woolard, here he is. I talked about him a while ago. I think I did anyway. In November 2015, the stripper was really great. Under the spell of a higher master was perfect. You can't loosely listen to this material. Your performance really does demand a closer listen and on a stereo system where you can hear all of the subtleties. Love the Twin Peaks edition. I just kept laughing. Adam's reverb, like a science fiction monster, is a good attention grabber for the alert. When you wisely dropped it afterward, it's like Mr. French from Family Affair. Adam becomes a genteel type. Great. Oh, what might be the follow-up for Adam and Sophia in the Big Apple? Gosh, we will be waiting to know what's going on there. Because, at the end of episode 3, that's the deal. It's like Adam goes home with Sophia Petrillo. And that, so it's like, it's just good to wrap up that he went somewhere. You know, it's like the other friend said, it's like, should have gone out with a bang, not a whimper. Because he, was such a big deal for a long time. Another fellow who tried watching the show and got bored. I've mentioned her before. I love the introduction regarding Collinsport, Lost Boys, and the echoing sound effect. In fact, I listened several times. Fun for the whole family, smiley. Though I can appreciate those who are well acquainted with the original series of Dark Shadows, I kind of get lost in the differences of the original story and Daryl's story as she discusses those differences. But I do get more of an idea of the different characters involved and appreciate that Daryl discusses these differences to both those long-standing fans and the new fans learning more about Dark Shadows. I agree
agree with Daryl regarding reinforcement and constructive praise. I have had experiences with both, and I agree the concepts, they really help and they have far-reaching efforts. I have to confess, though, that I sometimes feel guilty that I'm not as constant in this endeavor as I would like to be. Reference to the various bands of well-known characters, Golden Girls, Bewitched, Nightmare on Elm Street, etc., not originally native to Collinsport, is actually easy to accept, just as we have no problem accepting that most the arch-villains reside in Gotham City, home to Batman. True. In reference to Jack's Fry House was funny to me, and I always love Hecubus's comment about Satan. It's the way he says it. I don't know if it just strikes me funny, and I don't know why, but Roger getting a late night call from the tarot reader is funny. I'm kind of confused regarding the insomnia and the reference to coffee, though I know it's supposed to be postum, which has no caffeine. I've adopted the idea. I don't know enough about the product, and that perhaps it is laced with vitamins or a concoction that would cause insomnia. According to a website called the Vermont Country Store, they do have brought back the beloved health coffee for the paltry sum of $16.95. Do I get anything for the plug? Willie's 666 piece puzzle is funny for the fact it's just a cloud and the significance of the number 666. It's just about rivals Batman's habits of doing puzzles, turning the picture part towards the table and using shapes of the puzzle instead. I always enjoy the witty banter between Sir Simon and Hecubus. Very expressive language, both in this case and throughout the story. It reminds me of the type of expensive language of books such as Anne of Green Gables, which paint portraits of situations as it progresses, such as phrases like, entrance our listeners with an essence of hypnotic music. The segment regarding dropping the remote was funny. The fact that Roger possibly takes advice from a tarot reader on the phone and marries someone such as Angelique is almost hilarious. The sound effects throughout the whole episode and other episodes are great. No other radio program, including professionals, could do better. The reference to Freddy Krueger is funny. I was wondering if any of the younger generation is aware of the sound of the old-style telephones, though I know some of those sounds are available on the cell phone. It's still fun listening and remembering. Oh yeah, because in episode 3 there's like a rotary dial that gets used. The conversation between Sophia and Mrs. Johnson was very clever and entertaining. In fact, the whole episode was entertaining, as were the episodes before this one. I think this is my favorite so far. Adam was so eloquent in his manner of speaking, I wanted to listen to him some more. Oh yeah, because I gave him like all kinds of high dollar words, and I tried to just make him like, well, if he's dealing with Wadsworth and Professor Stokes, yeah, he's gonna get pretty highfalutin. The episode was very clever, well written, well acted, and great sound effects. It was fun, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Thank you for all the effort you put into this episode. Oh my gosh, you're welcome. Somebody says so you want to say that. Oh, then my old pen pal helped me start this whole thing. A chuckle and a sigh for poor Willy and his jigsaw puzzle joy. Oh my gosh, because yeah, and this is where I should have, in retrospect, I kind of figured out, yeah, this whole, like, device technology thing is part of the problem, because originally it wasn't this discussion. She originally text messaged me that she had enjoyed the episode in text when I first released it in text, and she's all, I just read it and totally enjoyed it, and I asked why, and she texted back like, oh, just everything Sophia said, and the fact that Adam was like super slick and better, and you know, it was just hilarious that just, and she just said those little things in a text message, like the old school one where you had to use the keypad, you know, the number keypad. So that was the world that's how fast everything's changed. Her original discussion with me was by text message, and that should have told me, it's like, well, if people are doing this more, no wonder they're not going to fill the boxes up. I had to really figure that out years later. But here, in 2015, it's a chuckle and a sigh for poor Willie and his jigsaw puzzle joy.
A snort for Dorothy and her complicated cheesecake. A warm smile for Sophia calling the Collins family what they are, rich snobs. Your Mrs. Johnson is lovely. A ha-ha to Madam Slick brought home, loud clothes and all, by dear Roger, meaning Cassandra. And I had forgotten the bladed glove fellow and the knitted sweater part. Cute, what a cat, meaning, yeah, Freddy Krueger was a reincarnation of the of cat from ages before. Now, I did not care for Adam in Dark Shadows, but it was good of you to make use of him here. Sophia's every line was gold, and yeah, that was part, I think was that was part in the text message originally from 2012. Many kudos for the Laura Palmer / Twin Peaks Laura Parker, and for Sophia sending the newlyweds to Jack's Fry House, because she was saying, yeah, don't go to the Double R Diner, because it's going to be too dangerous. Go to Jack's Fry House, that I just made up. Somebody named Jane. I wish I could remember her last name, because I think this is somebody from social media. Another episode well done with all sorts of hidden funnies. This is from 2015. I was so glad to hear they were finally teaching Adam to cook so he could... I wonder if this was on YouTube. Who knows? He could upgrade from his cup of chicken broth diet. This episode is filled with all sorts of thought-provoking lines, such as, if you can find the sun, episode 3 brings a lot to light. Yeah, because I think they were talking... Carolyn was, in episode 3, Carolyn... saying that she's going to hang out with Tony Peterson around, you know, Widow's Hill just to take a walk by the cliff. And then Mrs. Johnson is, because she was saying, you know, if you know Mr. Barnabas Collins, Cousin Barnabas ever shows up, Mr. Peterson wants to talk to him, something like that. And then, and so, yeah, but Mrs. Johnson says, oh, yeah, he's having more daylight hours. Like, it's been really noticeable. And then he's like, so... that there's not that much sun out there right now. And then she's all, if you could find the sun, you know, it's, I know it's out there, it's somewhere. So yeah, that was, I think, what Jane was talking about, 2015. Oh, yeah, one of my pen pals. In 2017, perfect opening music. Love Foreigner and Lou Graham. Oh yeah, because that's the Lost Boy stuff. Stripper music and evil laugh. Laugh out loud. You get the girls perfect, meaning Golden Girls. The obvious humor and laugh tracks. Wow. And to complain about the cheesecake gone and no story yet. Leave it to Sophia to leave all the fun, to have all the fun. Even if most of Sophia's stories were just tall tales, Gabby pun intended, aren't we all? Laugh out loud. Talk about catch up on the storyline. Cool. Screaming her head off at every door she opened, and only when the professor told her that and huddled the kids around her to only see and deal with Freddy Krueger and the Tomcat crackers had Krueger's sweater on first, who turned into him. See, trouble, girl wrapped in plastic, Laura Palmer / Parker, and leave it to Sophia, the gangster, to tell them to stay and eat, relax, and spa day. Oogies boogies, laugh out loud. A suit. And Tony was put off a little when Sophia told him to go up and find her himself. Because, yeah, he's looking for Carolyn. She's like, go upstairs and find her herself. And he ran upstairs. Wolves at the chickens. A sign to stay away from the old house. Gabby is under Wadsworth's spell. I feel it is a relief for Gabby, that is. She'll never know the curse she is under. Widow's Hill? Adam as in Frankenstein's monster? An old radio, or an old toilet, but better left as a mystery, an old mystery at that. Yeah, because I think that's what Roger said. It's a mystery. The piece of furniture is a mystery. And, you know, I used to think it was a radio. Elizabeth was saying it. It was a commode. Oh, yeah, the lady who came later, you know, that she's late to the party, but was looking for Adam's Family crossovers. Sophia, picture it. Collinwood, 1960. She says 62, but it wasn't that. And I love the Golden Girls. Sophia's Sicily stories and Rose St. Olaf stories still crack me up. And I think this is Patty Williams. And she's laughing. Ugh, ha 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 ha. Stripper music. Love it. Yeah. I wonder if this is the... I think it is the friend I need to call. She sent me a card, too. I need to call her. I finished your episode... So this is 2016, February. Finished your episode 3 today. Enjoyed the Twin Peaks references. I was a big TP fan when it was on TV. We'd get pie and donuts and show it in the dorm lounge at UCSC. 40 or 50 of us. It was a regular thing. I was sad when it went downhill when David Lynch stopped writing for it in the second season. I am curious about the reboot on Showtime coming next year. Oh, was it really that soon? And random guest in 2015, great show.
Doesn't say anything, but it's there. So that's kind of nice.
Oh, this is a pen pal helping me with sound effects. Love the Freddy reference. That nasally voice from the Northern Lodge. Yeah, I just held my nose doing that stuff. You should make Roseanne a recurring character with that voice. I'm not a gentleman, but one day I might become one. Ha! Because that's something Adam says. Oh, and I think this is the guy who got in touch because I was complaining about social media and the internet. Jack's Fry House reminds me of our local Fred's fish fry. Love that stuff, and I don't like fish really. After two episodes, Manservant Hecubus is still my favorite character so far. The extras thrown in, like the 666-piece jigsaw puzzle of a cloud, are humorous even if very subtle. Love those tidbits. Dark Lord watching Golden Girls. Hilarious. Well, it is on the Kids in the Hall originally. The music bit at the very start of the clip was humorous. Naturally, the spooky noises are better than music. Never seen Golden Girls. Not sure I got the significance behind the scene from the show. I assume that's what that was, but it was fun nonetheless. It probably wouldn't be as enlightening as I think it would, but I think a blog post about how you do your Foley sounds, meaning sound effects, would be interesting. I think I've done a little bit of that. It's probably easier than I think, though. Well, you gotta get the knack. And it's so funny, too, because people have talked about my Foley being good, and I'm doing a Dave Foley character, so I got totally lost. Like, why did they say Foley? They didn't mean Dave Foley, they mean Hecubus? So, yeah, I got confused by that, because to me, it's sound effects. And Jonah recently told me why it's called Foley, so I already understand. You don't have to tell me. I have to cut out a lot of yawns from this thing. The Freddy Krueger reference is amazing. As a horror fan, that was most fun. Sophia the Terminator. Interesting. Love the plugged nose voice for the Great Northern Lodge operator. Yep. Oh, we figured it out. Too funny. Wait, what? Murder investigation? P.G. Woodhouse? I had never heard of him, but he seems interesting. Oh, yeah, because there's, like, Collinsport's ode to P.G. Woodhouse is the line that a lot of people say, you know, about Wadsworth being there at all. I never heard of him, but he seems interesting. Need to read more on him. Such good references. The jump to my Dune phrase makes me think I should know the reference. John Saul being my favorite author. He has a book that deals with a little girl's spirit who haunts an area near where she fell to her death on the rocks below comes to mind when I hear that phrase at the end of the segment. Don't know why, but this banter was more interesting than usual. Despite me not liking banter, wonder if it's the female character voices. Adam sounds like a character from a fandom I should also know, but don't. Manufacturing soap, staying away from the dirty works. Scars. Oh, that's what I wanted to mention. Okay, so I'm not done with his discussion, but there's a line in this third episode where Mrs. Johnson says to Sophia, you know, you remember the accident I had with the iron, and that she got something to heal it from Dr. Woodard, and that was what helped with Adam's scars, and that they helped a lot, like it made a huge improvement. Now, originally, I wanted to use Neosporin, but I could not find the back history on Neosporin, and I remember going to Yahoo Answers, and there was somebody else looking for that there for a term paper, and they had to get, you know, whoever it was had to give up because it couldn't be found either. I mean, they were really secretive with their history and everything, and just all the thing about Neosporin. So it was originally going to be Neosporin, and I said, well, I can't find enough details about Neosporin because they're so secretive with it. So I just made something up that it was Dr. Woodard that was responsible for the medication, like cream or whatever.
So going through the whole episode, another pen pal, perfect opening music, and I think that was the, yeah, Love Foreigner, and yeah, that was the Lost Boy stuff. Gabby, pun intended, aren't we all? Talk about catch up on the storyline, cool. Screaming her head off at every door she opened, and only when the professor told her that and huddled the kids around her. Yeah, so she knows Nightmare on Elm Street pretty good, so she recognizes instantly, I guess. Trouble, girl wrapped in plastic, Laura Palmer Parker, and leave it to Sophia, the gangster, to tell them to stay and eat, relax, and spa day. Oogie boogies, a suit, and Tony was put off a little when Sophia told him to go up and find Carolyn himself, and ran upstairs. Wolves at the chickens, a sign to stay away from the old house. Gabby is under Wadsworth's spell. I feel it is a relief, for Gabby, that is. She'll never know the curse she is under. Widow's Hill, Adam as in Frankenstein monster.
an old radio, an old toilet, but better left as a mystery, an old mystery at that. Oh, and then the lady who is like, I'm late to the party. Sophia picture Collinwood. I love the Golden Girls, Sophia Sisley stories, and Rose's St. Olaf story still crack me up.
Oh, yeah, and I mentioned that. And then, yeah, the person that I should telephone soon. And great show. The guy, I think, who caught up with me because I was complaining about the internet and social media. And he's all Dark Lord watching Golden Girls. Hilarious. Well, that is the Kids in the Hall and Mark Mahoney, and that was where that came from. The music bit at the very start of the clip was humorous. Naturally, the spooky noises are better than music. Never seen Golden Girls, not sure I got the significance behind the scene from the show. I assume that's what that was, but it was fun nonetheless. It probably wouldn't be as enlightening as I think it would, but I think a blog post about how you do your Foley sounds would be interesting. It's probably easier than I think, though. Some of them I will, like, use a search engine where it's like public domain sound effects. That was how I was doing it for a while. And I'm not sure if I got them all right. But then other ones, like somebody recently commented me on an episode where there was a zipper noise. And that actually was me doing it, you know, with this microphone or some microphone like it. There's also another episode where there's like kitchen noises. And that was just me going to our kitchen and like fumbling with a bunch of like porcelain and silverware, and I just, you know, just kind of did it straight that way, you know, just using a recorder and going with that. Like, there's a lot that I've done here, you know, a lot of I've done myself. Yeah, so it's a mixture of, you know, grabbed things and personally made things and that kind of stuff. The jump to my dune phrase makes me think I should know the reference. Yeah, Jean Saul, okay. Don't know why, but this banter was more interesting than usual, despite me not liking banter. Wonder if it's a female character voices. Adam sounds like a character from a fandom I should also know, Frankenstein. But don't. Manufacturing soap, always staying away from dirty work scars. Yep, you got it. The reverberating footsteps were good audio accents. Once I knew the extra details you gave about how it was, the quarreling over Adam's name was fun. You could have drug that out quite a bit and it would still have been interesting. Good job on making him sound male. I almost thought he was played by someone else for a bit there. Well, you know, I do get a lot of comments on doing a variety of voices. And I get the impression that a lot of people get inspired by a lot of the stuff I say and they want to do their own creative thing. And then they start to and slowly begin to recognize I can't hold a candle to all this shit she does. Pardon my French. But yeah, it's like so multi-layered and got at least two senses going, reading and listening, audio. It's a show. And I always have to tell pen pals, thank you so much for expressing to me that it is a show, that it is not just writing or typing or book reading or anything just that, you know, kind of two-dimensional type of stuff. You know, it encompasses more and it, you know, there's a lot of layers and depth and thinking and planning involved, that kind of stuff. So yeah, and I really appreciate when somebody expresses to me, yeah, it's got to take a lot of work, because I think people who get inspired, they get creative with something, they show it to people, and then they realize I can't even get to remotely what she does, which I also appreciate when the highest compliment I've ever been given is on a radio drama group on social media. Someone asked, who all did you hire for episode 13? I'm like, no, nobody. That was all me. And I think it just freaked the crap out of people. It's like, well, you know, I've been doing a lot of this stuff. I've got a lot of blah de blahs explaining why. And also figuring out the darn persuasive tech and figuring out, you know, not on my own, obviously. I had help with that, you know, and figuring out the surveillance manipulation and how that works. And having kind of known through my own experience in the previous century, you know, how I could do that on my own. And that's why people were freaked out about being recorded, because they kind of knew that that was going to happen. And now they don't seem to care anymore. So yeah, there are so many layers to what I do that I think it just breaks people's brain. And I don't intend to do that, but that just seems to be what happens. Anyway, where are we in episode 3? Let's go back to that. The discussion. The musical interlude was nice. A classier segue.
Although I didn't know it would segue out of the entire episode. There is a lot of repetition in the credits, but they are nice to hear. They do help me know what fandoms I probably should have caught, but most likely didn't within the episodes. And another pen pal, I'd love to hear from her again. I list her as Zombie because that was a nickname that she had many years ago, from 2017 May. The cheesecake table with the Golden Girls was pretty funny. The laugh track was a cute touch. Mrs. Johnson's cat was great. The telephone call with Sophia and Victoria was interesting. I think I'll have to listen to it again once or twice to really take it in. Tony and Carolyn's romance blooming was also interesting. I got a little lost with the Adam storyline, but that's because I didn't see the original show, probably. Roger and Mrs. Johnson discussion also kind of lost me a bit, but that's probably because I was still trying to catch up to the Adam bit. You know, saying clearly what she was tripping on and all that. Here we go with Tito. Oh, where was this from? This was 2016 May. Here are some comments. Not quite on point with the responses, but it is something. I really like the way the introduction worked with a kind of a two-layer approach. First with Hecubus and Milligan, and then with the funny effort with the remote control and the entry into the sitcom world. I wonder if he's re-looked at the Kids in the Hall stuff, because yeah, we were fans of that, big fans of that back in the day. The laugh tracks were great. Set off the see, that wasn't something that I did at home. That's something I grabbed from somewhere trying to get public domain versions of things. Set off the jokes, which I think went over kind of flat deliberately, I'm assuming. Yeah, it was. So the canned response was a good juxtaposition. It sounded like the last barrage of laughter synced in with a slightly unnatural pause, which added to the effect. Then there is the critical decision by Sophia to enter the Collinsport world, and bingo, we have the musical theme and things are introduced. Yep, pretty much. Yeah, 9 lives for 9 sequels. Wait. I guess there were 4, maybe, of the Freddy franchise. Oh yeah, I can't even remember how many there are now. There was a funny reference to the trimming of the Elm Street elms. I liked Sophia's contributions to the supernatural context. She has advice that combines spirit world strategies with good housekeeping, all delivered with a directness that makes you feel like shit for a second and then slightly better because it is exactly what you needed to hear. My analogy for Sophia's role in this episode is that of Harvey Keitel's character in Tarantino's Pulp Fiction. The guy just shows up and solves problems. The telephone call with Sophia and Victoria. Again, that helps me to play up the stereotypes. So there is a crime in investigation, and you need some cool heads to help you ride it out. Wadsworth isn't there, but Sophia is on the horn again. Problem solved. I like the Twin Peaks reference. There could have been additional dream infiltration here, but that is perhaps for another pit. Pretty cool about Tony and Carolyn romance blooming. Call me old-fashioned, but I approve. I sort of like the way he gets hassled upon entrance and awkwardly trots up the stairs. Her self-reference to as the Terminator was great, and that actually riffed off from the Golden Girls. I think Sophia did claim herself as also being known as the Terminator. Kind of nails the time frame and is true to character. It's cool when you get that sense of authenticity, even though the context is far-fetched or removed from the original. Yep, thank you. Adam sounds different somehow. A certain patina of sophistication and erudition. I love Sophia's joke about having some Italian heritage thrown into the mix of flesh chunks. Oh, God. It's almost like he did watch the original. Jeez. Dude's a veritable melting pot. I love the writing for his dialogue. He talks super fancy. Oh man, I was just aiming for like $10-$15 words, just up his, you know, up the plight for poor Adam. Hopefully Adam will prosper in the soap manufacturing industry with his constant evolution. Who knows? Maybe he'll become our overlord. The change of station for Adam is a great setup for another Golden Girls episode. Cue up the laugh track, baby. Oh, God. Oh, man. Every time I go through Tito's, it always just busts me up while I'm at the microphone. Roger still sounds pretty torn up about the missing girl. The furniture is an interesting distraction and remains, for me, a mystery. I cued the audio a couple times to see what I have missed, but I think that I missed a couple of words that might trigger the brain. I'm not going to get too OCD on it. Great episode. Love the intro. Great work with Sophia. Oh, yeah. Thank you. There was like this barmaid on Cheers. I remember I showed Jonah episode 3 and he was saying that, yeah, whatever like Rhea Perlman played on Cheers was my Sophia sounded more like her. And I can't remember her character name on Cheers. But yeah, that was pretty funny. It was an old social media entry where I posted about that and people thumbed it up. Which means what? I don't know. That they agreed? I have no idea. Maybe it was just they were thumbing up Rhea Perlman. Oh, I recognize her. I'll thumb it up. So yeah, who knows? Anyway, that was Tito's. Okay, so the reader who checked out the podcast, but then would come back to the script and put in, you know, her thoughts and eventually, you know, started to, from what I could see, she seemed to understand that I was, you know, this monster demon on social media, therefore, you know, back away, and then she's all alone. So this chapter was good when I got the references. I like the bantering friendship between Sophia and Mrs. Johnson as gal pals. Good friendships like that always get weird. Oh, that's so nice. And I remember some dude on Tumblr was like, I can see Sophia and Mrs. Johnson as BFFs. That was one of the best experiences I ever had on that godforsaken Tumblr. Oh my god. But just this one guy said, I can see Sophia Petrilla and Mrs. Johnson as BFFs. Because I only learned BFFs through playing Animal Crossing on the Wii Nintendo, so that's how I learned that catchphrase or whatever. Who is this? Oh, yeah, this one pen pal. The telephone call relayed a lot of info. Twin Peaks, good luck with that, Victoria. Carolyn needs a romance to keep her feet on the ground. She's a bit flighty. Adam, the enforcer, ha. With the mystery furniture, funny how things get you sometimes. You get so used to things always being there, and then one day you actually see it and ponder over it. Yeah, she always has great things to say. And Myrrh, oh, bless her heart. Yay, Hecubus. Is it not the home of the state of Collinsport in its entirety? Yay, Myrrh. I hope you're doing okay. And, oh, a little from Helena. Ooh, the dream curse and no Cassandra slap. Dang. Ah, the Golden Girls and Sophia. I love it. And that was like extra that she did in 2015. Now here is one. Wait, let me go over these other ones. Oh yeah, Adam's Family Tree. Let's do his. Dorothy and Sophia getting involved in their pre-Miami days. Laugh out loud. Far out groovy. Anyway, when can Fonzie get into position for action? I don't know. Oh gosh. I remember I had one rant long time ago that I put on the pit and I was like, you know, where, you know, people saying this is just how fan fiction is. And I was just railing against that going, yeah, sit on it, Potsy. I think that was like the one Happy Days reference that I said in some rant somewhere. Probably got a copy of it. So I think I saved all that stuff. Who knows? Knock on wood. Oh, gotta love a great Golden Girls reference infusion. This is a pen pal. You totally nailed each of them wonderfully. I absolutely adore the whole Sophia and Mrs. Johnson gossip session as a catch-up to the Pitt's episodes. It was awesome. The cat sliced someone up. Is this Pet Cemetery? Quick designing women reference during the phone call scene. Love that. Great line, I'm not sure what she means. Great line, Collinsport, the town where exorcists refuse to go. Great advice from Sophia. Stay put for a while. Toni Peterson and Carolyn Stoddard's romance seems to like it's going well. I love Sophia no matter what she's doing. Okay, I totally missed why Sophia was taking Adam home. To keep him out of sight so Mrs. Johnson's plan to create people can continue. I'm confused. So the mystery piece of furniture is a toilet. We still don't know. That's the thing. But the idea was that Sophia becomes enamored with just that Adam is really well put together, so to speak. I totally didn't mean that pun, but it just came out that way. And she was, you know, thinking, no, I don't want a second husband. I want a second son. And different from Phil Petrillo, obviously. If anybody knows the Golden Girls, yeah, this would be a different, you know, extra son than Phil would be. Whew. So, yeah, that's what she was going for. It was like, you know, Sophia looks like she wants an extra son somewhere. Adam needs a better exit to Dark Shadows than what was given to him on the original show. And yes, I did in my letter to Robert Rodan tell him about it. And to episode 3, I did get a statistic that was close to his location. So who knows? Maybe he listened to that. I have no idea. Never heard back from him. No clue. I don't hear back from most of you people. So how do I even know? All I get to do is speculate like most people do and just kind of get whipped into whatever shape the big tech gods prefer to bestow upon us for the sake of making some kind of nickel and dime profit, I guess. I just, you know, it's all just so flabbergasting. But, and then I go back to James Burke and listen to his books and listen to his shows and just think, okay, yeah, this is all just batshit nuts. So, okay, let's just keep doing our best here. And he, you know, he's been doing, James Burke's been doing some BBC James Burke, not the other guy. You know, he's been doing some new stuff. Apparently there's a new connection series for 2023, and we're trying to figure out how we can get a hold of it. Looking forward to the possibilities, but I was looking for interviews with him. There were some pretty recent ones on YouTube, and a lot of the Hate Speak for Rewards was still happening, but nobody wanted to lambast James Burke. They just wanted to bitch about whoever was interviewing him, except for one very young man. And it's like, oh, he's a kid, let's not, you know, complain about him. And so, yeah, it was really weird, because like the Hate Speak for Rewards was just, it was like just accumulating and rising, and the training for that, and just But yeah, as far as I know, as of this recording, he's still alive and still optimistic. It blows my mind. I'm glad to see him still going, and I look up to the man. So, you know, kudos to James Burke. Thank you very much for teaching us all what the heck was going on in this world. I mean, it's just so much information. And hopefully I play some kind of similar role, just with all of us who got raised on too much TV in the 20th century. Another pen pal who is really near and dear to me. Although the Lost Boys music is somewhat familiar, I don't think I've ever seen it. Maybe the woman stuck in the root cellar ate roots. A discussion of radio script word counts. Yes, I got quite bored of typing character names during my adventures in transcription. There are websites that estimate how long it'll take to read a text out loud, but I imagine they would struggle to accurately guesstimate for a radio script. Whenever I get around to attempting a script of my own, my initial plan is to aim for 5,000 words. No idea if that's actually a good idea. I think it is. I think, yeah, I can't remember where I was. I just remember that episode 11 was too long as a whole. That's why it's cut into two parts. On to the episode. I enjoyed this episode, meaning Strega of Brooklyn, more than the previous two, because I recognized and appreciated the Golden Girls' involvement, whereas most of the other characters' fandom still leave me rather confused, baffled. I do still have the Dark Shadows movie, meaning the House of Dark Shadows movie, waiting on PVR, which is kind of a TiVo thing, and am still planning on watching it. Does Strega mean witch? Yes. That was the whole reason it's called Strega of Brooklyn, because there was a lot of stuff, and even Helena got this back in the day, where she was like, yeah, Sophia, she got powers too, or whatever, because, you know, she talked about, in I think the Moonlight Madness episodes, the curse of the Strega, and she was, you know, trying to do this stuff with for Dorothy's well-being, and, you know, kiss a fool and help a holy man and reveal betrayal of a loved one, I think was from the Moonlight Madness episodes for Sophia. So she had her, you know, character steeped into all this, you know, voodoo stuff. My Italian, says the pen pal, is not so existent. A 666-piece jigsaw puzzle of a cloud? My jigsawing great aunt could solve that, no problem. I remember when she said, you know, I probably, years ago she wrote to me, I probably won't get a lot of these characters, but I'm still interested because it's radio drama, and I'm interested in radio drama, and I'm interested in writing, and I'm interested in, you know, the facets of creation and production and all that. So that was really good. And at some point, you know, she said, I probably won't know a lot of the TV shows because I was, you know, most of my TV experience was grandma-approved TV growing up. So then with the Golden Girls, she's all, well, yes, I'm going to understand this one because it was grandma-approved. I just love that. And then she goes on to the, going back to episode 3. That was an antique. No, Master. It was purchased from the side of the road. But how does that prevent it from being antique? True. The devil dropped his remotes and watched the Golden Girls. Of course, I have watched the Golden Girls. They were grandma-approved TV, naturally. So, yeah. Oh, it's so good. So good to get all this discussion. Spreading salt helps clean rugs. Hopefully I wrote her back about that. Really, hey, listen to this podcast and pick up household management skills. Wonder what your miles are for yourself around the use of other people's work. I understand fan fiction involves borrowing and reworking, but there are some things you've decided you just won't do. Non-canon pairings is what I won't do. Thanks. I think that was probably my response. Yeah, there's, you know, there's some things you've decided you just won't do. Non-canon pairings is what I won't do. Thanks. My name is Sophia. Others know me as the Terminator, unquote. Are these characters going to be staying at the Shining Motel? The Bates Motel? No, the Great Northern. Yay! Also, I miss rotary phones. The Great Northern isn't actually on the Pacific, is it? Well, I think it's in Washington, so yeah. Confused face. The town where exorcists refuse to go. That's Collinsport. I rarely remember my dreams. True. It seems like there are more sound effects in this episode, particularly echo reverb. Maybe my memory is just not great. I like how you use Sophia in this episode. You managed to place her in unfamiliar territory while she retains her Sophia-ness. Very good.
Oh, okay. Lord Groh from 2021. His thoughts on episode 3, The Strigger of Brooklyn. Is that line of Hecubus's and Satan lifted from the church lady of Saturday Night Live fame? No, that is from the Kids in the Hall, which do have kind of a connection with SNL. Like I think it's like Lorne Michaels or something kind of supported them back in the day. And that's kind of, he's also a Saturday Night Live supporter. Beguiled. Now there's a word you don't hear nearly as often as beguiling. I'm afraid I don't recognize the character who's traveling, nor which sitcom she's from. Oh wait, did I hear someone, Satan, mumble Golden Girls? Ah, now I know who Mrs. Johnson's friend is. Did the original series never mention Mrs. Johnson's first name, leaving you free to invent Gabby? Well, eventually I figured it out that it was her first name was Sarah, but Gabby is just a nickname. And that's why Mrs. Johnson says, I haven't heard that nickname in ages because I didn't know, so I just figured a nickname. And then I think earlier in this show I talked about how, well, she could be a reincarnation of Abigail Collins, who knows, because it's the same actress. Yes, my parents certainly were disdainful of instant coffee. Well, that's good to know from somebody who is a rerun adult, as opposed to me, who's a rerun kid. All right, Edward Scissorhands. Oh, did she decide he was a dream version of her cat with blades representing claws? No, that's Freddy Krueger. Fun reference to Laugh-In, Giggle, and Twin Peaks with the little dig at the fourth wall. Yeah, can't leave out the pie. And a little tip of the hat to Jeeves. What is the mysterious piece of furniture? We have never found out. Theme song medley. And I actually responded to him on the pit of ultimate darkshadows.wordpress.com to what he was saying about episode 3. My response is, oh, I do believe the Hecubus and Milligan duo focus on Satan for the darkness element. The two are from the Kids in the Hall recurring Pit of Ultimate Darkness skits, which I also blended into my own title. And yep, a younger Sophia Petrillo. They had enough flashbacks on the Golden Girls where Estelle Getty lifted her old lady makeup to perform a younger version of her character, so I played the same card with episode 3 here. And that's why when you go to the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows Golden Girls version on fanfiction.net, there's a picture of a younger Estelle Getty on the Golden Girls, I think in kind of 20s garb. It's kind of like that. I discovered later that Mrs. Johnson's first name is Sarah, but since I didn't know at the time and these two women are gossiping, I'd give Mrs. Johnson the nickname of Gabby, and bless you for picking up the instant coffee mention. It was haunting me a few weeks ago as I was using some, meaning instant coffee. Oh, and the scissored hand is Freddy Krueger's. I discovered later cat's claws were the inspiration for Freddy's glove. Dark Shadows had a long dream curse, or so who in my movie viewing would help bypass that? Yep, Freddy. Happy face. I, Twin Peaks and Laugh-In and P.G. Woodhouse Jeeves. With the furniture, a friend and I are still scratching our heads over it. Unknown props and ornaments are often a good topic to build gags out of. Thank you for this. Been a busy day / week. And what I wanted to get to later, there was, let's see, one guest from 2015. I love it. I had a few really good chuckles and the production is fantastic. Having done a bit of internet radio, I know it's not easy. Nice work. I think that was a gothic group on social media. Now from 2014 is an actual review by @MadMargaret. Rest in peace. As far as I know, she has passed away
according to Lisa, and then Helena said that she might have seen it on some website. So I am still not sure, but if so, rest in peace. If not, I'm being very premature, and I apologize about that. So what she had to say for episode 3 is, well, that was a crazy romp through TV land. I just pictured these people roaming around from set to set of different shows, picking up characters to add to the stew, and throw in Freddy Krueger as a cat, just for fun. And full of inside jokes, Laura Palmer / Laura Parker and the mystery furniture in the foyer. Funny, we both make a point of Cassandra's vibrant wardrobe, but how can you not? I'm glad she remembered that. And the educated and eloquent Adam, very amusing. I didn't really watch the Golden Girls, but I know who each of the characters is, but I got all the DS jokes. Okay, so that was very nice. Sorry, I got a little distracted by actual rain pouring outside. But anyway, I was a little worried about mentioning Mad Margaret, because I know that we did not hit it off. And a lot of people listening to the intro to episode 10, which I mentioned Mad Margaret pretty heavily, just because I was looking for anyone who would be helpful. And from what I understand of big tech and persuasive technology and what was going on with Mad Margaret, I am very grateful that in my intro to episode 10, that also has the wonderful Up Easterner review that in retrospect gives me a big understanding of why people from The Ghost of Mrs. Mirror were not too readily available to review what I was doing, even if they loved it, who knows, but yeah, they probably understood all the weird stuff going on with Dark Shadows fandom and just wanted to stay the heck away from it. Whereas with Mad Margaret, I am so grateful in my intro to episode 10, when I was so confused by her, I sighed and said, I don't know, maybe she'll piss me off someday, I don't know. I'm so grateful I said that, because that is what happened. Whatever was going on with the big tech and the persuasive tech and how she was behaving with it, she did piss me off very severely, and I'm sure there's a lot of gossip and a lot of BS and a lot of, oh, well, what does she mean by that? And oh, how terrible, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, will you people just grow up and relearn how to write a letter and send an email? For God's sake. That's how I feel about that. Where it's like, if you want to ask me, you know my email address. Do I have to repeat it again? xoisecythe@hotmail.com. So anyway, yes, I'm grateful that I once upon a time said, I don't know, maybe she'll piss me off one day, I don't know. And yeah, she did. And I blame social media for a lot of that, because it was tweaking with her big time, like it's tweaked with a lot of people big time. That's why they call it persuasive technology, because they figure out your idiosyncrasies. And I wasn't able to jump on that bandwagon and figure y'all out and figure out how to persuade you to inspire me and help me and all that, but I went the old school route, and that's one of the reasons I like old stuff, because it's kind of reliable and it doesn't change. But I don't know with what to say about Mad Margaret, but like I said, rest in peace, and I'm sorry things went so foul, and I'm sorry that things couldn't have been better, but I did not see how the fan work that she had that, and she did apologize once upon a time for like, well, I've been bugging you about this, you know, like reviewing me and all the time, and I'm very grateful that she at one point told me that. And I'm still grateful that when I was trying to get discussion and I was worried about the marriage novel being so adult, she just said, well, label it with adult. And I really have appreciated that over all these years, that that was a really good thing to pinpoint and to point out and to say, just do it this way. And hopefully that should be fine. Just bracket it with adult with some of these chapters. And it's like, good. Yeah, I'm grateful for that still. I am not sure what happened. Lisa told me a little bit of what she knew, and she wasn't sure. Absolutely. She couldn't be like, well, don't hold me accountable for, because a lot of this information, it comes at us sideways and we can't really find it reliable. And I still haven't figured out how to, you know, I did search, you know, Mad Margaret, whatever, or I figured maybe some of her more recent reviews would say rest in peace or something like that, but I haven't found anything like that. So if anybody wants to get in touch by email to let me know that that is actually true, or where there's any evidence or proof that it has happened, sure, please do. Or any question you have for me. If you want to know about any of the GD gossip, you can write to me by email and ask me about it. That's fine. It's annoying, but whatever. And then maybe we'll find rapport and you'll start giving me discussion about these episodes, because maybe once upon a time you enjoyed them and maybe you can again in the future. I don't know. So that is about what I have to say on the existence or non-existence of Mad Margaret. And I'm sorry that it didn't go well. And
because I would like to get a... I mean, I'm doing a bloody relief series to fix problems of fictional characters, so that is a good representation of what I want in real life, of course. And I've got all of my own personal medical dilemmas that I am not going to share here, but I'm still working on, and people who call me on the telephone know. So, after that, I don't know. I did very recently get some more discussion for episode 20 and 21, so hopefully after this, we'll go back to the later episode retrospectives of 20 and 21. And hopefully I can get all... I've gotten, again, very behind on my letters to pen pals, and I'm sorry about that, too. So anyway, if you have any questions or any narrative discussion, my email address is xoisceythe@hotmail.com, and you could also ask me why it is xoisceythe@hotmail.com. Whatever you want to know, I am happy to let you know, and I've said it before, I'm just not going to go back to GD social media to appease the powers that be, because I don't agree with the powers that be in this case. And many of you were promised many things with the internet that we did not get, and I remember a time where there was no internet. And I feel like one of the pen friends, who's now a phone friend, really appreciates, because she likes old school things, she likes old stuff, and oh gosh, I gotta get another book done for LibriVox. I'm very close to finishing it, and I gotta pick something else. So anyway, hopefully you're all doing well, and I'll be able to edit this properly and get it out there in February of 2024, which would be the 12th anniversary in the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. Yeah. Again, if you want to try, if you're like, I can't focus, I want to focus, go back to Rebuilding Attention. That is from September of 2022. I made a 29-minute episode trying to give everybody the tools, things that helped me in the very distractible 20th century. And this one is a lot more distractible, and we're all paying bills for it, which is obscene. It's totally obscene. So yeah, hopefully you're all doing good, and hopefully I will continue to improve. If I'm improving at all, I'm not even sure. And this has been, for February 2024, the retrospective into Episode 3, The Strago of Brooklyn, in the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. So, to my loving and humble audience, take care. And I want to add, as cheesy as it is, for all of the pen pals who are keeping in touch, as well, especially the ones calling me by telephone, which includes Helena, as cheesy as it sounds, thank you for being a friend.